Good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Emily Seiler. I am the youth director here, and I have the honor of preaching with you guys this morning. With you guys, emphasis on with. Join me in prayer as we pray for the rest of the morning. Emmanuel, I thank you that you are a God that is with us. May you be in this space, and may we be aware of your presence in this space. I thank you that you're... the things that are meant to hold us back are now things that we can call victory, God. And we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for the way that you love us. In your name we pray. Amen. This summer, we are in a series called In the Red. No, this is not a financial term, but rather it refers to the words that Jesus speaks in the New Testament. So in the New Testament, which is the like second half kind of the Bible, the words that Jesus speaks are typically put in red ink. In our first week, Mike, who is now on sabbatical, spoke about Mark 6:31, which says, "Come with me by yourself and get some rest." And during that service, he left space open for us to ask hard questions and be in the presence of God and just rest with the presence of God. Then last week, Chris talked about Acts 1:4-5, which is Pentecost, which is basically a story of Jesus and God bringing in the Holy Spirit, ushering in the Holy Spirit to commune with us so that we have direct access with God. And he talked about and encouraged us to rely on the Holy Spirit daily in our lives. And this week, we are focusing on what Jesus says in Mark 7:34, which is... this magical word. And because I'm a youth pastor, I'm going to ask for a little bit of audience participation. No need if you are feel embarrassed by this. I was also embarrassed by this when I tried to, pronounce that word. So if you think you know how to pronounce this word, go ahead and shout it out. Ephaphatha. The way that you... the way that you pronounce this is ephaphatha. Ephaphatha. Not much better than like 20 people shouting that back at me. Ephaphatha. This is Aramaic. Basically, Aramaic was the language that was spoken in Palestine or that region when Jesus was around. And this word means to be opened. Ephaphatha, to be opened. Thank you for participating. Well done. We find Ephaphatha in the middle of the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is this very interesting gospel. Jesus is always on the move in Mark, in this gospel. He is always doing some sort of mind-blowing interaction with people. He's either like blowing people's minds with the way that he quotes scripture and uses scripture to teach, or he's doing miraculous things with thousands of people there. He's feeding thousands of people, and he's healing people of their life. For me, sometimes I like the reality I live in. I like having control of my life, and I'm comfortable ignoring the voice of God. I like the cracks that I've filled, even though I'm stuck. But when I give my entire being, not just the broken or the whole parts, to God, God is speaking wholeness into my life. And God is trying to break me into free from those things that have held me back. My cracks are exposed in the presence of God. And God is able to show me in the freedom that there is freedom in those cracks. And God can make those cracks into something different. The reason that I ignore the voice of God might be different than the reason that you ignore the voice of God. And the reason I ignore the voice of God now might be different than the reason I ignore the voice of God 4 months from now, 4 years from now, definitely. So I think it's important in our everyday spiritual life to ask ourselves, what is preventing me from hearing the voice of God? What is preventing me from being in the presence of God? It's an important question, I think, for us to ask ourselves. So this morning, I want to leave you with an image. And it's kintsugi art. If you are a high school student, I'm apologizing. I've told you this story a lot, but I think it's a good one, which is why I'm going to keep on using it. In kintsugi art, it's a Japanese art form which is used to put plates and bowls and cups back together, to glue them back together. But you can still see the cracks in the cup, and you can still see the cracks in the bowl and the plate. They do this on purpose. They put it in gold because they want you to see, the artist wants you to see how this was put back together. It's exposing all of the cracks, and there's beauty in that. I think this is symbolic for what God wants for us. There is freedom in being exposed to our cracks and exposing our cracks to God, because God then has the ability to make them into something new, to put gold over the things that hurt us or those emotions that are unsavory to us. God has the ability to do that. We are broken, and God knows it. We are broken, and we know it. But God is speaking to you. Ephiphatha, be opened, so that you may be exposed to your cracks and that you may find freedom in your cracks. God doesn't want you stuck in your own reality. And God can make them into something new. Amen? Amen. Okay, join me in prayer this morning. And when he's in these areas of Sidon and Tyre and or Tyre and Decapolis, he's having meals and sharing meals with people. And what do you do when you're sharing a meal with somebody? You talk. If it's silent, it's pretty awkward. You're sharing your story. People are sitting and sharing a meal with Jesus. They're sharing their story. And if Jesus is listening, he's also sharing his story too. And if he's sharing his story, that means that Jesus is sharing about God. And he's teaching about God. And he's showing miracles about who God is. And Jesus is placing himself in these areas on purpose, because Jesus is showing that the Messiah, or this person who is meant to liberate and to save, is not just for the Jewish people. This person who is sent to save and to liberate is for everybody. And he does this to show the intentionality and the love of God is for all people. And this is where we find our favorite word. In this time period in Decapolis, with a ton of Jewish and Gentile people following Jesus. So we've established that Jesus is in Decapolis on purpose. And while he is in Decapolis, a group of people bring Jesus a man who is deaf and mute. This group of people beg Jesus to lay hands on this deaf and blind and mute man. And Jesus took this man away from the crowd and put his fingers in his ears, spat, and then touched his tongue. A little weird for us, but I'll explain later. After he had done all of this, Jesus then looks up into heaven and says to the deaf man, our favorite word, ephiphatha, which means to be opened. And immediately his ears were opened and his tongue was loosened and he was able to speak plainly. And Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered it, the more they proclaimed Jesus' miracles. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Okay, so let's break down this interaction a little bit and start with this man that was brought to Jesus. We've established that Jesus is in the Decapolis on purpose, and he is there to proclaim the good news to all people, to all Gentile people. So it's, and this is a predominantly Gentile reason, so it's reasonable to assume that this man and his entire group of friends are Gentile people, non-Jewish people. And one commentary that I was reading suggests that this group of people did not expect their friend to be healed when they brought him to Jesus. The manner in which they brought this man to Jesus and the reaction that they had after he was healed suggests that they were only expecting a blessing from Jesus on their friend. But God had a purpose for this man before he was brought into Jesus' presence. Then Jesus took this man away from the crowd because what he had to say was intimate. This was a personal moment between Jesus and our friend. And it is after Jesus has touched his ears and touched his tongue that Jesus speaks epiphytha, or openness, in this man's life. It is not until after all of this process has happened that this man is liberated from his things that make him feel less than. His healing was a process, and even though this man could not hear what was or see what Jesus was doing, Jesus was still communicating with him. Jesus spoke to his entire being, not just the parts of him that were broken or the parts of him that were functioning in the way that they should, his entire being. And I think he did this on purpose because Jesus finds importance and significance in all of our personhood, whether those things that are broken or those things that are functioning as they should or those things that are whole, Jesus finds importance and significance in all of it. And I think that there is something for us to hear in the midst of this. Even when you cannot hear what Jesus is saying to you, he is still speaking purpose and love in your life. In the same way that Jesus spoke to this man before he was healed, Jesus will speak to you before you are healed. Because God thinks that your entire being is important, the mess and all. You do not have to be a certain way to be in the presence of God. And how put together your life is not dependent on how much God cares for you or the level of involvement that God has in your life. Don't wait to be in the right place to feel like you can listen to what God has to say to you. So often, I think that we think we have to be in the right mood to be with God. And we suppress these unsavory emotions like sadness or anger or disappointment or anxiety. And we suppress those for a couple of reasons. One, maybe we like having control over our life. We don't want God to see the way that we're feeling, or we don't want other people to see the way we're feeling. And so we just create control over our emotions and we don't invite God into our mess. And the other reason, I think, is because maybe we're ashamed. Maybe we're ashamed of the way that we feel. Or for some of us, maybe it's the complete opposite of that. Maybe you're only in the presence of God when you want something solved. When you want those unsavory emotions like sadness, anger, anxiety, and disappointment to be resolved by God. The way you feel about God or the circumstances you are in are not going to change the way that God consistently loves you. Those things that make us angry, sad, anxious, and disappointed are oftentimes the things that hurt us the most. And I can think of no better way than to be free of our hurts than to give our hurts and our pains, the entire part of it, to God. If we hide our pains from God or present our mess and our chaos in the way that we want to, we're only presenting an image of what we're going through, which isn't the complete truth of what we feel. When we hide these things from God, it is hard to hear what God is speaking to us because we're not presenting an honest reflection of who we are. When we end up creating our own reality in our attempts to solve things on our own, we hide our true emotions. And in our reality, it is hard to be aware of the presence and the processes of God. It is as if we are blind or deaf to the words that God wants to speak to us. It does not matter what phase of life you are in. God has something that he wants to say to you. If you are 1 year old, 16 years old, 25 years old, 67, or 101 years old, God has something that he wants to share with you. And God is speaking to you in your reality, the mess and all. No matter if your reality is put to order or if it is just complete chaos, God has something to say to you. As Jesus says, epiphytha, something that had served as a detriment was now gone to this man. It is important to remember that this man's healing was a process. Jesus followed steps that were critically and culturally appropriate for that time period. Touching his ears, touching his tongue, and spitting. I know that that, to us, sounds like really gross, because it kind of is. But within this time period, if somebody was to heal with saliva, that meant that you were godlike or that you were an essence of God. If you healed with saliva during that time period, it is essentially saying that you are God. And so this is a culturally appropriate way for this man to be healed by Jesus. And it's a process that would be appropriate for this time period. And Jesus, in this healing action, is saying, I am God. I have the power to heal you, even with the things that maybe in your culture don't necessarily help you. Jesus is healing in a process that is appropriate for this man. Now, there's a couple things that come to mind when I hear a Ephphatha or be opened. One, of course, is a little, it's a little bit nonsense to me because it's in Aramaic and there's PHs too. But to be opened, a couple things come to mind. One is freedom and the other one is exposure. Now, being exposed to me, that sounds like me being super uncomfortable and being unprotected. It's as if like my entire being is just like out in the open and there's nothing here to protect me from the things that make me feel comfortable or uncomfortable. I feel exposed or unprotected when I lose something that makes me feel comfortable. There's an entire range of things that make me feel comfortable or things that can make me feel exposed. And they can be surface level things like my morning routine. I really like coffee in the morning. It's very nice to have a good cup of coffee. And part of that process is me getting energized and me getting ready for the day, but it's also a nice little like pause before I press go. It's a nice pause for me to contemplate what's going to happen today and just kind of sit in the presence and the stillness of the morning. If I don't get that time or if I don't get that coffee, sometimes it can be a little bit jarring for the rest of my morning or the rest of my day. And it can like make me feel like I'm exposed. So something that brings me comfort can make me feel exposed if it's taken away from me. And then it can be really deep, those levels of exposure. Like if something happens that breaks the image that I have set up for myself. So for example, if I do something wrong, that breaks the image that I have set up for myself. And I have to rethink the way that I interact with the people around me, or I have to rethink the way that I think about myself or think about God. Breaking something that breaks the image of what I think I am leaves me feeling exposed. For some of us, those things can be very different. Maybe for you, it's part of your habits. Your habits make you feel like you are comfortable. And some of us, it's our reality or the people that we are around, the environments that we surround ourselves with or the experiences that we have. If those things are taken away from us, sometimes we can feel exposed or uncomfortable. But what if it's a good thing? I want to be comfortable because this is me filling my cracks myself or my brokenness myself. It's a way of me hiding my cracks. It's me presenting a reality that I want other people to see. If I hide these things from God or myself or my community, these cracks in myself, there's no way for me to grow. I'm stuck in my own reality. And there's no freedom in that. There's no freedom in being stuck. Even though freedom and exposure seem like they could be opposites, you can't have one without the other. Freedom and exposure are connected. Right now in our small group, we're going through the book of James. And James is full of little nuggets of wisdom. In that first chapter, James starts out by stating the obvious, that life is hard. But then James goes on and continues and encourages everybody that even though life is hard, God is with us in the midst of those hardships. And God is going to create those hardships to make us into those whole beings that were intended for us. And we exist in this wholeness when we live in the reality that God has created for us, not the reality that we create for ourselves. And James says that we can find guidance on how to live in God's reality and what James calls the Torah of freedom. The Torah is a term that refers to the first five books in the Bible. It's a Hebrew term, a Jewish term. And the first five books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. Not necessarily in that order. Sorry about it. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think freedom would be the word I associate with those first five books. I would probably say skip for the first five books is my, like, word association. Genesis and Exodus, here for it. Love it. They're great. Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I would probably skip those. Not necessarily the ones I would go to for, like, a morning devotional while I'm drinking my coffee because I like my routine. On the surface, those three books seem like a lot of rules and a lot of expectations and lots of like really fine details on things that I don't necessarily would initially think apply to me. But the purpose of these books is to help people get closer to God, even though they mess up all the time. And they do it in an interesting way, I think. They show people how to get close to God by showing everybody their cracks. For example, the first part of Leviticus says some very specific examples on how to give ritual sacrifices to God. And there's two kinds of main sacrifices within that first part of Leviticus. There's many more, I promise. Put it in your morning devotional and you can read them yourself. In that first part of Leviticus, you see those two types of sacrifices. One can be for saying thanks. Hey, God, thanks for doing stuff that benefits me. Sure, thanking God is important within that. And there's another type of sacrifice to say I'm sorry. And what do you say? What does it mean if you're saying I'm sorry? It means you did something wrong. It means you did something that was hurtful for yourself. Maybe you did something hurtful to somebody else. And these sacrifices are showing people the things that they have done wrong so that they know how to correct and make a good future for themselves. But they're also showing us our cracks so we know where we need God. It's exposing people to their weaknesses. It's exposing people to their cracks. I am still convinced that being exposed leads to freedom. There is freedom in knowing our cracks, and there is freedom in rules because they help us figure out where we need God the most. N.T. Wright says, who's this theologian in England, says that healing then and now can never be simply correcting a few faults in the human body. It always was and is, and perhaps supremely so, with Jesus. It's a sign of God's love breaking into the painful and the death-ridden areas of the world. Sometimes in the middle of your reality, it is hard to hear what God is speaking to you. So what prevents you from listening? For me, sometimes I like the reality I live in. I like having control of my life, and I'm comfortable ignoring the voice of God. I like the cracks that I've filled, even though I'm stuck. But when I give my entire being, not just the broken or the whole parts, to God, God is speaking wholeness into my life, and God is trying to break me into free from those things that have held me back. My cracks are exposed in the presence of God, and God is able to show me in the freedom that there is freedom in those cracks, and God can make those cracks into something different. The reason that I ignore the voice of God might be different than the reason that you ignore the voice of God, And the reason I ignore the voice of God now might be different than the reason I ignore the voice of God 4 months from now, 4 years from now, definitely. So I think it's important in our everyday spiritual life to ask ourselves, what is preventing me from hearing the voice of God? What is preventing me from being in the presence of God? It's an important question, I think, for us to ask ourselves. So this morning, I want to leave you with an image. And it's kintsugi art. If you are a high school student, I'm apologizing. I've told you this story a lot. But I think it's a good one, which is why I'm going to keep on using it. In kintsugi art, it's a Japanese art form, which is used to put plates and bowls and cups back together, to glue them back together. But you can still see the cracks in the cup, and you can still see the cracks in the bowl and the plate. They do this on purpose. They put it in gold because they want you to see, the artist wants you to see how this was put back together. It's exposing all of the cracks, and there's beauty in that. I think this is symbolic for what God wants for us. There is freedom in being exposed to our cracks and exposing our cracks to God, because God then has the ability to make them into something new, to put gold over the things that hurt us or those emotions that are unsavory to us. God has the ability to do that. We are broken, and God knows it. We are broken, and we know it. But God is speaking to you. Ephiphatha, be opened, so that you may be exposed to your cracks and that you may find freedom in your cracks. God doesn't want you stuck in your own reality. And God can make them into something new. Amen? Amen. Okay, join me in prayer this morning.